Did you miss church this weekend? Was the sermon so good you wanted to hear it again? Welcome to the Hope Tri-Cities Sermon Podcast.
It is so good to be here, guys. It's good to be here. Can you give yourselves a hand or just a happy? We're happy to be here, aren't we? We're good to be here. We're happy to be here this morning. Good. Hey, so this past summer, I did something that took me about 2 years to complete. I finally completed it a couple weeks ago. I built a chain link fence. Took me 2 years. Yes, thank you. Thank you. 2 years. And I kept blaming my neighbor on this. He's like, he won't help me. You know, like it's his responsibility too to make sure that we get this thing up. And he wasn't responding, so I kept blaming it on him. But I wanted the fence up. His trees were knocking my fence over, so I took the old fence down. But it took me 2 years to complete this fence. Okay, I was afraid I was gonna make a mistake. And I did. If you go there, you'll see the learning curves that I made on that fence, okay? You'll see, he was learning there and there and there. But one of the things that happened is we got to dig a lot of holes, right? It's 100 feet by 25 feet. And I know some fences are a lot bigger than that, but I was digging each hole and I tried to use one of those things, those machines that drill a hole in the ground. It was not going to work, right? There's rocks in there and it almost flung me off and almost busted up my shoulder. I almost cussed. It was a terrible thing. Right? So then I started using a postal digger and I started using other things, but then every time, all but one of the holes had rocks. And so instead of the hole being this round and 2 feet deep, it ended up being like this big and two feet deep. And it was so difficult. I remember one of the times Josiah was with me. He helped me quite a bit. And I didn't even ask. There's a couple times I asked him, but he offered a lot of times to come and help me. But he said one time, he goes, "Hey, Dad, digging holes is fun, except for when it's hard." I was like, it is. It was hard almost every single time, except for that one time. I think that's when we were saying, like, well, that was an easy one. It took us like 15 minutes to dig that one. The rest of them were like 3 hours each, it felt like. But one of the things, as I dug out, every single time I was on my knees pulling rocks out. I had this other tools digging big rocks out, and I was doing all these different things, but I was getting my hands dirty. My hands were in the soil, so I had dirt in my nails, and there's something good about it. Every time I dug a hole, it felt good. It was like a little bit of therapy, so I'm glad it took me a long time to do this. It was like, I was out there, I was like, oh, I'm feeling angsty, I'm feeling depressed or anxious. I'm going to go dig a hole now. I feel better. Right, but there's something good. It's getting our fingernails. It reminds me of the first job that God ever gave anyone. He gave Adam, before Adam is tempted to sin, before they learn about not even eating from the knowledge of good and evil. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, God says, or Genesis says that God the Lord told or set Adam in the Garden of Eden to tend and take care of the garden, right? He was like the first gardener. That was like the first job that happened, that God gave. And so there's something good about it, to dig in dirt, to dig in soil, and to do something. Today we're talking about soil. Today we're talking about dirt. Everyone say dirt. And part of the reason why I'm talking about dirt today, it's just a standalone sermon today, but whenever we think of new beginnings, we think of a new season, we think of new things. A lot of times we talk about during the springtime, but I think that during the fall, especially as a new school year starts, I think it's easy for people to start new rhythms. It's easy for people to make adjustments and augmentations to where we're at in life, to assess things in our lives and say, okay, this past year has been going this way, but I think the remainder of the year can go this way if I make certain adjustments. And so this morning, I want us to make a few adjustments. I want to give us some opportunities to give some, to shift some things, because I think God wants to plant certain things in the soil of our hearts, right? So I'm going to set the stage. We're going to be looking at Mark chapter 4. I'm going to read a big chunk of scripture. And Jesus, in Mark chapter 4, he tells a parable. We're going to go from verses 1 through 20. Jesus tells a parable. He tells a story to convey truth and principles. He would always tell these stories. He would kind of make up a story, but he was conveying truths and principles to help the people that are in front of him understand some deep spiritual things. And this is what it says. Once again, Jesus began teaching by the lake shore. A very large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat. Then he sat in the boat while the people remained on the shore. And he taught them by telling many stories in the form of parables such as this one. I love this. It says, once again, he began teaching. Once again, people gathered in front of him. Once again, people were curious. Once again, people were hungry to hear. And I think that's something that's a good posture for us to have. That we regularly get before Jesus and say, Lord, I want to hear from you. Lord, teach me. Not just on Sundays, but Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, Friday, Saturday, right? That's good. It's a good rhythm. It's a good rhythm to start if we have not done that every day to be in the presence of God. Amen? Okay. Then he goes on to say, listen, a farmer went out to plant some seed. As he scattered it across his field, some of the seed fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate it. Other seed fell in the shallow soil with underlying rock. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plant soon wilted under the hot sun since it didn't have deep roots. It died. Other seed fell among the thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants, so they produced no grain. Still, other seeds fell on the fertile soil. And they sprouted, grew, and produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Then he said, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Okay, this text shows us a farmer, some seed, and different types of soil, right? And when we look at this, when we look at what are we talking about here? God represents the farmer, the seed represents his word, and the soil, the three types of dirt, represent our hearts. There's three types of dirt where not a lot grows, and one type of dirt where there can be all kinds of growth. And what Jesus is trying to do is he's trying to get us to a place where we're considering the posture of our hearts. I think the question that we've got to ask ourselves as we look at this, and I think it's important for us to look at, is what kind of soil am I? What kind of soil is in my heart? In a little bit, we're going to look at what these different types of soils mean, but like I think it's important for us to ask ourselves the question to assess, am I ready soil? Am I soft soil? Am I a healthy soil? Or is there, like, what parts of my life are reflect areas that we're going to talk about in just a moment that sometimes gets us in trouble? I love how Jesus, he told parables to disarm people. There was true skeptics that were with him in these crowds, and he would people who were spiritually curious, and he would help them with these parables to present truths and present principles. But at the same time, there was people in the crowds that were wanting to be confronted. They wanted to debate. They wanted to fight. And so he brought conviction to those religiously established people. And so Jesus, what he was doing with these parables, he was kind of killing two birds with one stone. I was talking with someone earlier about that, killing two birds. That's kind of a morbid thing to say, right? Killing two birds with one. I don't even know how you do that. I think that was you, Paul. I was talking with Paul over there. We're doing like, that is terrible. Why don't we feed, what did you say? Why don't we feed two birds with one scone is the better way to do it, right? That was the thing that you were telling me, right? Let's go that way. That's more positive. But Jesus, what he was trying to do is he was trying to bring conviction to some and help people open up in others, their people's minds to open up, but the main thing was, how do we get people to ask questions? The main thing was how do we ask questions about our own place in our own hearts? right? Because that, and that's what ends up happening is if you jump over to verse 13, the disciples, they ask him, like, what does this mean? We want to know a little bit more, right? We think we know, we might know what this means, but tell us. And Jesus, he says to them, if you can't understand the meaning of this parable, how will you understand all the other parables? The farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. The seed that fell in the footpath represents those who hear the message only to have Satan come at once and take it out. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents others who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth, and the desire for other things, so no fruit is produced. And the seed that fell in good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. So the question is again, what is the soil of your heart? Is your heart like the footpath? Is your heart like the rocky soil? Is your heart like the thorny garden? Or is your heart like the soil that is ready to receive? I think we got to ask ourselves this question. And I think a great prayer, and I think even a memory verse that you might want to write down somewhere to put on your fridge or in your car or something like that, Psalm 139, I love this. It's a great prayer. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. I think that's a great one to remember. I think it's a great thing to carry with us every single day. Say, God, search me out. I don't want to have anything inside me that is polluted or diluted that doesn't bring you glory. Amen? Okay, so I think a couple things that as I look at this, some of you are already trying to figure out, am I the hard surface? Is my heart hard? Is my heart full of weeds? My heart can't be like that. I really do think that our hearts represent all four soil types, all four dirts, if you will. I think, you know, how many of you guys have walkways with weeds growing, poking through, right? Right, and then how many of you guys have gardens that have weeds coming out? Right, so a combination of these things can exist. We can have hard surfaces in our hearts. We can have hard places in our heart. We can have shallow places in our heart. We can have thorny places in our hearts. And there's other areas where there is growth happening. But I want us to talk about these four different ones, and I want us to think about where we're at in our lives. God wants to plant seeds in your heart so they grow. He wants to plant things in our lives so that there is maturity, there's character, there's hope and faith, there's strength and there's grit. He's trying to do something in our lives that allows for us to have growth in our lives. And in this metaphor, it's seeds. When I've thought about this passage, I thought about when you were kids or when you're hanging out with your kids, did you ever tell your kids not to eat those seeds with the watermelon? Is there biting into it? Don't eat the seeds, right? What's one thing, what's the thing that your parents told you or you told your kids? Watermelon's gonna grow in your tummy if you eat the seeds, right? Right, that's what my parents used to say, and I think, ooh, there's a life hack there. Okay, Mom, if this is true, then I will never grow hungry. Because if I eat the watermelon with the seeds and the watermelons will grow in my tummy, then my stomach will absorb those watermelons, in turn having more seeds be deposited, and it'll end, the whole process will repeat itself, so I will defiantly eat my watermelon in front of you. Unfortunately, it doesn't work that way with what Jesus is talking about, right? He says this in Mark chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. He says this: the farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. The seed that fell in the footpath represents those who hear the message, only to have Satan come at once and take it all away. Okay, so this footpath, Footpaths are hard. They're made up of compact dirt, rocks, gravel, clay sometimes, and not very many things grow on them, right? So this represents the hardened heart. I'm going to say hardened heart. In front of me, I have some seeds. I have some bachelor button seeds. I don't know what they are. Okay, they're little flowers, and they're tiny little seeds, right? And then, here, I'll put them back in here. And then in here, I have some tomato seeds. Oh, they're super tiny. Can you see that? No, you cannot see that, okay. Then I have some popcorn seeds. I don't think can these grow still if we plant them? No, they can't, can they? This won't fit my metaphor very well, but imagine the footpath like being this hard surface. If you have seeds here, nothing's gonna grow. You can't grow. Even if these could germinate, it's not gonna grow, right? Or you know, if I just throw them down there, do you think they'll grow down there? They're not gonna grow, right? Some of you are losing your mind right now. Who's losing their mind right now? Raise your hand. Okay. You want to know something funny? You're like, yo. Some people are like, you don't do that in the house of the Lord. Do not. You know what's funny is we have two dogs now. We'll talk about the second one later, some other day. But the first one, I brought him to church just to get him socialized. The very first thing he did when he came in the building, there was no one else in here, just he and I, maybe a couple other people, but he comes in here, the doors were open right here. He comes in. He didn't know what he was doing, poor thing. He was afraid. I'm giving him all the benefit of the doubt, but he comes in directly in the center of the aisle. Like, I think he measured it somehow. He's like, I'm equidistant from both sides of the building and this side. And he takes a dump right there in the middle of the floor. Right there. Right by where Jim's foot is. Right there. So if you're losing it now, don't worry. We'll get this picked up. Okay, I'll pick this up. I'll, just like I did with Ox's Dookie, okay? But stuff, nothing's going to germinate on that floor, right? There's no, regardless how many different types of seeds I use, they're not going to germinate. Why? Because that surface is hard. And when I think about hardened hearts, a lot of times when we think about those words, we think, oh, hardened heart is evil or bad or rebellious, right? And some of that may be true. We are. Our tendencies, our nature is sinful. You know, our souls are kind of bent in on themselves like an ingrown toenail, just like, ugh, just trying to destroy itself, and we're trying to destroy ourselves, right? And there, so some of that is true. There's unhealthiness in us. But when I think about a footpath and then the metaphor of it being our heart, I think about how a footpath is used. If a footpath is supposed to represent a heart, think about, man, trails get stepped on. Trails get mistreated. Trails are taken for granted, right? No one ever wonders how the trail is doing. No one ever asks, hey, how is the footpath doing? How is it feeling today, right? So when I think about this, when I think about hardened hearts, I think about a lot of us in this room who've been mistreated, abused, uncared for. Now you know, like, oh, how many of you guys can say that's happened to you, been misused or mistreated, abused, uncared for? How many of you guys can say that? There's a lot of hands in here. And it's okay, some of you are like, I'm not saying anything. But there might be some hardness in your heart. And that's not, I'm not trying to blame you here. And God says, I want to grow something there. Will you soften that heart? I had a hardened heart for a long time towards God when I was a kid because I saw some injustices that had happened and I brought those up. Someone's got to do something about this. And they said, no, we got to throw those under the rug. And it was just an injustice and it just, that hardened my heart. No one cares. Then I won't care. It just hardened my heart. I think sometimes we harden our hearts towards prayer. You think, man, I've prayed for certain things to happen and they never came to fruition. I'm not going to pray anymore. Or we harden our hearts towards other people. Man, those sometimes church people hurt us. Or someone hurt me. I'm not going to open my heart up to those people anymore. You know, the interesting thing about healing is, especially most of the hurts that we have happen because of other people, right? And the very thing that God uses to heal us is relationships with other people. It's kind of ironic and difficult. It causes us to have to trust him through the process, right? That's why in James chapter 5, it says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Most of us in this room, we know how to confess to God, but how many of us know how to confess to one another? That's difficult. There's a guy named Kurt Thompson. He talks about this. He's an author, a psychiatrist. But he talks about the fact that we are forgiven people, but we're not healed people because we don't know how to go one another and to confess to one another. And that's why it's important that, Laura, thank you for talking about small groups and all that stuff, that the group fair that's coming up next week and for the next month. Let's sign up and be in community. It's scary and it's difficult, and you're saying, I don't know if I have enough time. Well, this is a time to say, I need to readjust some things in my life, and I need to create rhythms in my life that allow for this to happen, because I need people in my life. But all of us, we have hard places in our hearts because of deep pain that we've endured. And Jesus is saying, will you take it? Take it to the cross. You see, our past may have shaped part of who you are, but do not allow it to limit what God is trying to do in your life. Don't let your past become a barrier to God's grace in your life right here, right now, and tomorrow. Let God heal and soften all the parts of your heart. Amen? Okay. The next one is the rocky soil. Everyone say rocky soil. That's the shallow heart. It says in verse 16 and 17, the seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. Some of us in this room, we might be thinking, "Well, I don't think I have a shallow heart. I think my soil runs deep. I don't think this represents me." But when I look at this, there's two things that Jesus is showing us. There is the persecutions that happen, and then there's problems that come up. I don't know why I believe this, but I believe that most of us in this room, if we were to face persecution, you would stand. You'd be solid. I don't know. Maybe I'm just thinking optimistically, and I see you guys as righteous people. But I do believe that if there was persecution that would happen on you know, that came at us, I think you guys would stand up and stand strong, right? On the other side of things, though, I think paradoxically, almost oxymoronically, when we go through problems, I watch some of you guys, and not just you, just other brothers and sisters in the faith, including myself, we walk through problems, and we just lose it. Right? We just don't know what to, we're like, no, Jesus, I'll take the wheel. I've got it from here on out. Right? Something. So it's just funny to me. I'm like, how does that work? I've seen people walk through things and say, I'm not going to fall away from Jesus. I'm not going to walk away from Jesus, but I'm going to take control of my life. Right? Maybe there is a semblance of falling away from Jesus, but some of us, we keep going to church, but we stop trusting Jesus is basically what I'm trying to say. I And I think that's a very hard place to be, where we go through the motions and we go to church and we do the things, but no, God, these problems, I need to figure out how to do them myself. And Jesus says, man, I'm trying to grow something in you through this problem. A lot of times we say, no, I don't want you to create deep soil in my heart. That hurts too much because I don't want to go through this thing. See, part of following Jesus, and no one likes hearing this, part of following Jesus is suffering. God sometimes allows problems to come up in our lives. He sometimes allows those things. And you may be asking, well, why does God create hardship for us? Let me say this. We don't need God's help to create hardship for us. We do a great job orchestrating some messes in our life. Can I get an amen for that? You guys did. That was a hearty. That means you've created some messes in your life. All right, God, he'll use our circumstances to build something in us and through us. He's developing our character and our faith and our strength. He's creating depth in our hearts. And that takes patience, that takes time, it takes a full surrender to allow God to do some of those things. It takes us being able to call a friend and say, hey, don't let me start believing the lies of the enemy now as I go through this. Don't let me lose the lesson that God has for me in this time. Don't let me sabotage the growth that God is doing in my life. And in James chapter 1, it says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Right? Celebrate. He's saying, throw a party. Get the maracas out. I don't know, get your boombox. Wait, there's no more boomboxes, right? I saw one the other day, but that's not a boombox. A boombox you carried around like this and you got little pants, right? I'm talking about, anyway, the block rockers, the speakers. Get a speaker and get some barbecue and just say, hey, I'm going through a hard time. That means God's trying to do something in my life. And it sounds counterintuitive, doesn't it? It says, consider it an opportunity for great joy, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow, so let it grow. And so when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Let your tribe know. God is adding something to you. God is doing something in me. I'm going to celebrate. I'm going to count it pure joy. Other types of problems that come up. Sometimes the problems that come up are the ones that just are consistent things, chronic things, things that we struggle with. I can't stop doing this. They just keep coming up. And I think with that, it reminds me of Proverbs 24. It says that though a righteous man falls 7 times, he gets back up again. And I love that because it's not saying though a sinner or a nasty person falls down 7 times, they get back up again. It says a righteous man gets back up. The righteous man, the righteous woman gets back up. He sees us, God sees us as righteous in light of what Christ has done for us on the cross. And through those struggles, God's trying to build something in us. Long-suffering, perseverance, grit, which is faith. It's character. It's not about being perfect, it's about being present through the process that God is trying to develop in us. So we got to ask ourselves, what is God trying to teach me through this hardship? What is God trying to show me? What is God trying to reveal to me? What is God trying to root out of me through these hard things? Okay. Third soil is the thorny soil. It's the crowded heart, the distracted heart, right? Jesus says, "In the seed that fell among the thorns represent others who hear God's word, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth, and the desire for other things. So no fruit is produced." This one's pretty straightforward. Jesus is saying, nothing's going to grow inside of you because that cup is already full. Says there's not a whole lot that's going to be able to grow there, because you've already got it stuffed up. It's hard to put anything in there. Open that heart up some, so things can grow. I think about how, like, we're not garden people, but I know it's not easy to grow a garden, right? Think about how easy it is for weeds to overtake a garden, and think about how hard it is to keep a garden. It's like a constant thing, right? And I hear people talking about they're always, oh, I was working in the garden, and they're always pulling weeds. They're always, it's, one is difficult to keep, the other one just, it's, if you let it go, you let it go, and it just overgrows everything. And I think if we're not careful, our hearts, we can put all kinds of stuff in our heart, not even think about it, and it can be completely full and not allow God trying to reach us in different areas. Jesus says that sometimes the seeds will germinate, but if there's thorns, they're gonna, any seed that germinates is gonna quickly choke out that little plant, and it's not gonna mature. And that's how things are. Our worries, that's how things are. Just us caring too much about wealth and attaining things, it can mess with us. It can be very pervasive in our lives when we allow some of those things to come up, when we allow worries to come up, when we think about the culture around us, right? Think about the culture around us. Man, there's the culture is trying to squeeze out good morals and virtues, and it can cause us to worry. How many of us worry about our culture? Some of us do in here. How many of you guys worry about cost of things going up? How many of you guys worry about who's going to be in charge come November? Oh, there's laughter, nervous laughter in here. There's so many things that can distract us, right? There's so many things. And there's a lot of these things, it's really easy to stick our heads in the sand. I'm not saying stick your head in the sand. I'm saying, I think it's really important for us to trust God. God is big, He is sovereign, He is good. He's got things under control. We have to trust Him in those things, but we also got to do our part. We keep our focus on Him and we do our part. But there's going to be all kinds of things that we worry about. I mean, what are some of the things you worry about? Like, who worries about how many microplastics you're consuming on a daily basis? There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, see? How many of you guys worry if you left a stove on this morning before you came here? 1, 2. Okay, there's 2 of you in here, right? How many of you guys worry, you worry about the waiter judging you for ordering dessert? There's 1. The only 1, okay. That guy keeps raising your hand for everything, okay. Right, there's all kinds of things that we worry about, and there's important things that we worry about. Like, am I a good mom or a good dad, right? Right? How many of you guys worry about that? Right? Am I a good student? Am I a good worker? I worry about the future. What are some other things that you guys worry about?
Health.
That's a big one. Finances.
Body odor.
Body odor. Alyssa, you gotta get this man some deodorant. There, problem solved, buddy. Right, we worry about all kinds of things. What are some other ones?
Kids,
you worry about your kids. You know, are they making the right decisions, right? Are we going in the right direction? What else?
Parents.
You take that, Mom. What else? Am I doing what God wants us to do? And we worry about that. Friends and family?
Unsaved
family. Amen. What else? I didn't hear that. It was a whisper. Okay. The Seahawks. Someone said the Seahawks. Oh boy. Okay, let me do something real quick. Stick your thumbs out at me. Go like this. Close one eye. And now bring your thumb close enough to your face where you blot my head out. Just cover my head up. Okay, did you do it? Some of you are like, that's a big thing to blot out. Actually, yeah. How about this? Do it to the cross. Do it to the cross. Blot out the cross with your thumb. Okay. Our problems, you guys can put your thumbs down. I should have taken a picture. You guys look so silly. Like, But it's so simple. Like, my thumb is not that big, but I can cover you up. Right? Our problems are not that big, but we cover up God with our problems. And when we worry, these things just, it's like thorns and it's like weeds in our heart. We worry about all kinds of things. One thing I was talking with Laura about the other night is if we can worry, we can worship. Right? The same muscles that we were required to use to worry are the same muscles that we use to pray and to worship. Right? So just flip that. Flip the script on that. I love what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6. Is don't worry about these things. What we will eat, what we will drink, what we will wear. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. All right, so we let all kinds of things distract us. Say, God, I want to be a ready soil. That's the last one here, a ready soil. I want to be a good soil. It says this, and the seed that fell good on good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. It doesn't say those who hear and think about God's word produce a great harvest. It doesn't say those who hear and agree with parts of God's word produce a great harvest. It's those who hear and accept. And when you look at the Greek in that, it's believing something as truth and responding accordingly to that, with emphasis on the source of where that truth is coming from. And those are the ones who are going to experience God's blessings. There's been quite a few times where I've stood up here as I said something that was difficult for me to say, and it was came from God's word, and people walked out, and I've never seen them since. It's sad. For a while there, for a little bit of time, I would take that personally, but it just makes me sad now because it's people rejecting Jesus. And I just want to pray for them. In fact, a mark of a soft heart is those of us who say, like our sister back there said, pray, I worry about my unsaved friends and family. I mean, let's pray for these, pray for people around us. That's a mark of a soft heart where we're remembering to pray for people that are far from Jesus, saying, God, reach them. Even use me to reach them, Lord. Is my soil soft? Am I ready to receive God's word? I think sometimes I'll have the worship team come up. We've got to close up here. Sometimes we ask ourselves the question, okay, what is God trying to do in me? What's God's plan for me? How does this help me? How does producing a great harvest help me? What does that even mean? Well, there's a bunch of passages in Scripture. Let me read a couple of them for you. Philippians chapter 1, it says, may you always, Paul's saying this to us. He's kind of praying this over us. He says, may you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ. For this will bring much glory and praise to God. In Galatians chapter 5, it says this, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. 2 Peter chapter 1 says, the more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, but I've looked at this before and I said, how is this helpful to me in my difficulty? How is this helpful to me in my times of trouble? And God, I've looked at this a few different times when I've gone through hard moments, hard times. And I just always come back to the realization is we'll always be empty until we accepting just the incredible reality that we were created to worship the living God, and that's it. That's it. I think a lot of times we try to fill our life with other things, and we're trying to pursue different things, and we run short. We run empty. We just become empty. When we ready the soil of our hearts by making our hearts soft, allow God to go in there and remove things and take out stones and take out thistles, and we say, God, all I want is you in my life. Wherever that takes me, Lord, you're going to end up doing things that bring him glory, but at the same time, fulfill your heart. Because ultimately, that's what we want. All of humanity, we want our hearts fulfilled because that's what it was created to do, was to worship God. But some people don't know that. They don't trust that. Our hearts are in search for that treasure that it can only be found by bringing God glory. And that brings peace and joy and fullness. It's that full surrender. If it's not from Jesus, it's not for you. I think if we carried that, if it's not from Jesus, not for me, if we carried that truth and said, I want to carry that with me as a principle, that anything else might be weeds or birds or rocks. Lord, help me to see what those weeds and birds and rocks are, and help me only to receive you.